Now, if you take your Bibles today and turn to John chapter 17, John chapter 17, we'll read verses 14 through 18. Most of us remember this section. It's often read during the Passover service. You know, Jesus Christ was giving some important lessons and things that he wanted his disciples to remember before he was crucified and put to death, and something that we also need to remember for today. In John chapter 17, verse 14, it tells us this. It says, "I've given them your word, and the word has hated them. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Verse 17 tells us something. It says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And you shall send me, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world." You know, Jesus Christ gave these words to his disciples right before his death. If you'll turn back just one chapter to John 16. John chapter 16, we'll read verse 33. John 16, 33 tells us this. It says, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But these verses tell us that God has left us to live in this world. But he also tells us that Jesus Christ overcame this world, and that we're supposed to have peace even though we live in a very troubled world that we see today, that has been a troubled world throughout man's history. You know, this world can have an effect upon us. Even though we're to come out of the world can still have an effect on us. It can have an effect on our languages, our language, our attitudes, our relationship with others, and even our relationship with God. You know, all of us know the world's going a totally different direction than the direction that we're headed. And oftentimes, like I said, the world has an impact upon us. But the world is lacking many things. It's lacking many things. And one of the things the world is lacking today is respect. It's respect. In all aspects of this world, and even here in America, there's a lack of respect that's been growing over the past years and even decades. It permeates our society, a lack of respect. If you turn to 2 Peter, we'll read verses 9 through 12. You know, earlier in this chapter, Peter is saying that God did not spare the ancient world, but he did save those that followed him. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 9, tells us this. It says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust and the uncleanness and despise authority, those who are presumptuous, self-willed, those who are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas the angels who are greater in power and might do not bring reviling accusation against them before the Lord, but these, like brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and they utter and will utterly perish in their own corruption." You know, these verses tell us that God will deliver the godly out of the world, but he also, those who practice the things in this world will come under judgment. They'll come under judgment. You know, it's interesting when we read these scriptures in Peter, how much they reflect the world that we live in today. And they were written almost 2,000 years ago, but they still reflect the world we live in today. That's because of Satan's influence and mankind's human nature. You know, we see in this world a lack of respect for God. We see a lack of respect for his Bible, for his institutions, for the family, for his laws. They've been ridiculed, they've been devalued. People disregard God's creation and even the sanctity of life. You know, we see a lack of those for others. We see a lack for spouses. We see a lack for family members. We see it on the news. We see it on TV. People show a disrespect for everything and everyone, whether it's to be the president or for governments, for the police, for those in authority. And even in sometimes in God's church, we can lack respect for each other. You don't need to turn there, but it tells us in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You know, we're told there's a blessing that comes when we don't walk the way of this ungodly world, when we don't sit in the seat of the scornful, which means to mock or to scoff, which is what we see around us today. So for this sermon today, I want to look at the aspect of respect. I want to look at the aspect of respect. We'll look at whom we should respect and why. You know, as I said earlier, you know, Satan, the devil, influences this world, and he also influences us. But we also have our own human nature. And we need, there's certain things that we need to respect, certain people we need to respect, and we'll look at why we need to respect them. I looked this up in dictionary.com, of what the meaning of respect has, what the meaning of respect has. It can mean the following things: deference to the right, privilege, privileged position, proper acceptance, or acknowledgement. To give an example of that, it'd be to show respect for someone in authority, to show respect for someone in a high position. Another definition of respect is esteem the worth, the excellence of a person, their personal quality, or their ability. You know, we show respect due to someone's honesty or maybe someone's integrity. We would show that person respect. Another definition of respect, someone shows respect or high regard in showing honor and showing honor to them. To refrain from interfering with someone. You know, an example of respect for someone's privacy. You know, all these things point to some other different words besides respect is esteem, reverence and honor, as I spoke about just a second ago. You know, respect is a key for building and maintaining relationships. If you want to have a healthy relationship with someone, you will need to have respect for them. You know, I can't imagine a relationship that you would have if you did not respect or have some sort of level of respect for that person. You know, the Bible tells a lot about respect. It talks a lot about honor, esteem, and regard. You know, the first point that I want to bring out today is that we need to respect God. We need to respect God. And we'll look at why we respect God. You don't need to turn there. But in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." You know, we know that God the Father and Jesus Christ had a plan for creating mankind. Everything that we see about us that is good, they created. It was not for them, we would not even exist. You know, the earth as we know it wouldn't be here. None of this would be here. In fact, every breath that we take is because of God's grace and God's mercy upon us. You know, the Hebrew word for fear has several meanings here in Proverbs 1:7. It can mean reverence. It can mean honor. And we need to reverence and honor God the Father and Jesus Christ. They've given us the opportunity for salvation. You know, when we have a proper respect for God, we can begin to understand who he is and his purpose for each of us. It says it's the beginning, it's the starting place for true knowledge. You know, without reverence or proper respect for God, we have a hard time understanding God's truth and understanding His great plan. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8 gives us a little bit more insight about this. And I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 12 through 14. It says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me, and insight are mine. You know, it tells us here that we can have wisdom, that we can have judgment, and we can have a proper respect for God, we'll learn to hate evil. And all this comes from respecting God and His truth, the beginning of knowledge. You know, we don't hate the person, but we hate pride, we hate corruption, we hate perverse speech. You know, for us to have the relationship that we need to have with God, we need to truly respect Him. We need to respect Him, honor, revere Him, just as we've been written here in the Bible. You know, another aspect of respecting God is respect the calling He's given us. To respect the calling He's given us. You don't need to turn there, but we all know the parable of the pearl of great price in Matthew 13, 45. It tells us this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And he who found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, sometimes we lose focus on the great opportunity and not fully respect the calling that God has given to us. To not put a proper value on it. To not fully commit our lives to following God. You know, this happens in this physical life starts to take over our priorities. When this physical life takes over our priorities, we forget or begin to forget to seek God and His kingdom first and His righteousness. You know, when we have the proper respect and reverence for God, we'll be seeking a lifelong relationship with Him. We'll be seeking a lifelong relationship. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that we must respect God's name. You know, when we look at the world today, how do they treat God's name? You know, many treat God's name lightly, basically showing no regard for it. They use it in cursing. They usually use it as exclamation, meaningless expressions. Exodus 20, verse 7 tells us, you shall not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. You know, God expects us to respect and honor his name in how we use it, what we say, and what we do. So we need to have a filter on what we say. We need to make sure that we honor God with our lips as well, the God who's created us, the God who's given us his truth from his holy Bible, and given us the opportunity to be a part of his family. And why do we do this? We do it for ourselves. When we don't take God's name in vain, it helps us more than it helps God. It helps us to keep a right attitude and a right perspective on God the Father and our relationship with Him. Another area of respecting God is respecting His laws and His teaching. Respecting His laws and His teaching, how we apply those in our life. You know, in the world today, many have heard of the Ten Commandments, but most believe they were done away with. Most believe that they're good suggestions if it fits the narrative of how they live their lives. In Proverbs 14:12, you don't need to turn there. It's a scripture that's very familiar to us. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And we see that demonstrated in this world that we live in today and has been demonstrated throughout this world and mankind living in this world. You know, it's sad to see the world that we live in today here in America. There's starting to be a growing group of people that believe that those who practice religion and practice these values are part of the problem, are part of the problem. Brethren, we know we're not part of the problem when we follow God's way of life. This world does not respect God's authority over them, so therefore they do not obey him. You know, a good example of respecting God's teaching and how it applies to our lives is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. You know, God's given us the Sabbath day for our own good. He gives us one day a week to save ourselves from working ourselves to death, because most of us probably would if we didn't take the time out to keep the Sabbath day. You can turn back to Isaiah chapter 58. We'll read verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13 tells us this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, you shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. You know, we can honor God by keeping his Sabbath day holy, as he's commanded, to respect the authority that he has in our lives. When we do those things, we will continue to show God the honor and the respect that he requires of us. And he requires that of us because it's what's best for us. It's what's best for us. If we turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 38. You know, Jesus Christ was summing up the Ten Commandments in these verses here in Matthew 22. He summed them up two ways, and we'll read the first way of it, way that he summed them up this way. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35, he says, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" Brethren, when we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we'll be showing respect for God. We'll show respect for his creation. We'll show respect for everything that he's trying to do in our lives. You know, when we show this kind of love or respect for God, it keeps our minds focused on what's truly important, on what's truly important. And while we remain in this world, we'll not be a part of this world. I want to look at one last area concerning respect for God. And that's when we take the opportunity to pray. When we take the opportunity to pray to God. You know, God wants us to come before him humbly, with honor and reverence, and God will hear our prayers. God will hear our prayers. Praying is our opportunity to speak to God. You know, Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows the things you need before you ask. God knows what's best for us, and we need to always remember that. We need to understand that in our lives. But when we come to God the Father in our prayers, knowing that he is our Father and we are his children with the proper respect, we can draw closer to him, and we can have a better relationship with him. When we worship God in our prayers, we continue to remember that he is the high authority over us. When we worship God in our prayers, we can start to understand the love and the mercy and the compassion that he has, not only for us, but for all mankind. When we pray to God, thanking him for our blessings, thanking him for his help that he's given us, we can see that God is working with us, that God is part of our lives. You know, our prayers allow us to come before the great God, the Almighty in heaven, to come before him and to submit our will to his, to ask him for help in our lives, as we go in our relationship with him. You know, we need to make sure that we take the opportunity to respect God in all of our relationships with him. And when we do, we'll grow closer to God. We'll grow closer to him in our reverence for him. The second area I want to look at respect is respect for ourselves. Respect for ourselves. You know, God has created us in the image of him, as we're told in Genesis. So that should tell us that God values us as human beings and the potential that we have. All of us have a great potential. You know, while the Bible tells us to be humble and esteem others as better than ourselves, we do need to respect ourselves. We need to have self-respect. But what does that mean? What does self-respect mean? I also looked this up in dictionary.com about self-respect, and it said the proper esteem or regard for the dignity of one's character. Let me read that again. The proper esteem to regard for the dignity of one's character. Now, I want to try to break this down a little bit so maybe we can better understand what self-respect is and why it's important to have it. If you look up the word esteem, using it in self-esteem, it says a realistic respect for the favorable impression of oneself. The realistic respect for the favorable impression of oneself. In other words, to understand yourself that you're not any higher or lower than other people, that you have a favorable view of yourself. And as I talked about earlier, you know, God has created us as human beings. It goes on, when you continue to break this down, the second part says, in regard to dignity of one's character. You know, the definition of dignity is bearing conduct or speech indicative of self-respect. In other words, we conduct ourselves in regard to our character. We conduct ourselves in God to our character. We've all heard the expression, I can't believe that person did that. Doesn't he have any self-respect? Well, brethren, we live in a world that many people have a low self-respect of themselves. And when you do have a low self-respect, it's hard to have respect for others. And we see that occurring in the world, in the day, especially in today's society. You know, how we view ourselves and the self-respect we have has been impacted by our parents, is impacted by our environment. Much of what has impacted our self-respect is something that we didn't even control. But brethren, we need to view ourselves as God views us. You know, God views us as having great potential. We have great potential. And we have that potential when we start following God's truth and living his way of life. You know, God has created all of us with strengths and abilities. You know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't think we have any strengths or we don't have any abilities. But we have a Bible that's full of stories about men and women who did outstanding things, who were just like us, just human beings, fallible, who had their weaknesses, who had their faults, who had their shortcomings and sins. They had their setbacks. But God was the one who accomplished great things through them. You know, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4:13, you don't need to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's God, through God all things are possible. And we have great potential when we yield ourselves to God in his way and when we apply his teaching in our lives. You know, God's calling is a great opportunity for those of us in God's church. It's a great opportunity to serve him now and also serve him in the future. But we must respect ourselves as God's creation. We all have flaws, we all have weaknesses, but we also all have abilities. We all have the opportunity to allow God to work in us And when we do, we can accomplish great things. Let's make sure that we have a proper respect for ourselves, to keep a proper understanding that God is the one who works through us, that we can fulfill the calling that He's given us. Let's make sure that we respect ourselves. Another area that I want to look at is respect for others. Respect for others. You know, we'll start in God's church. Do we respect others God has called? You know, we're told in the Bible that God has called the weak of the world to confound the mighty. But I think there's times where some may think that applies to everyone but themselves. You know, God has called the weak of the world. We're all the weak of the world. We need to make sure that we do not look down upon others that God has called. All of us need to remember that we're human beings, and to quote what Gary Petty has been telling us in the Agape Love series, we're all human beings, and we need God's love, and we need God to fix us. We need God to fix us. You know, how long that takes us to become more like Jesus Christ in our thoughts and our actions. It takes a lifetime. It takes all the time that we have. Showing respect for God, those that God's called, is allowing for those who may have a different level of understanding of how they apply God's truth that may differ from ours. But we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if we have the gift of prophecy, if we have all understanding of God's mysteries and knowledge, and if we have the faith to move mountains, if we don't show godly love to one another, we'd be nothing. We can show godly love for one another who He's called by showing respect for the ones that God has called out of the world. We need to make sure that we encourage and pray for others, that we don't criticize. We don't criticize maybe their spiritual level where we think they need to grow. You know, I gave a sermon in November. I talked about judging and the judge. We looked at the Greek word in the New Testament. In Romans 14, we looked at Paul was talking about causing offense or a stumbling block for others who may lack understanding of God's truth, may, as I said earlier, may not have applied it like we think they should be applying it. Brethren, Paul told us in Romans 14 that we need to allow God to work with them, that we need to allow God to work in them to help them to grow, and they will. They will grow. We need to make sure that we don't show a disrespect or judge in matters where we're not needed. You know, Satan is the one who tries to cause division in his church. Part of that division can come from disrespecting others. And I think we've all done it. I've done it sometimes. But we also need to remember what Jesus told us about us in this world. I refer back to John chapter 17, verse 16, said, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth." We need to make sure that we're not of the world when we give our opinions, making sure that we're not causing division for others. You know, we live in a world that's not focused on God or its ways. They're not focused on even trying to understand God's truth. And verse 17 talks about sanctify them in thy truth, which means make them holy. Make them holy in God's truth. You know, the world is led by Satan, who the Bible tells us is the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. Much of what we read today, hear today, is a mixture of truth, opinion, the mixture of misleading statements. It's also a mixture of lies. Just as Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. That's what we see in the world today. We need to make sure that we're grounded in God's truth and be careful about sharing our opinions from what we've heard or what we've read. Make sure that we show agape love for one another. You know, the year 2020 is not very far behind us. It was a year of division in this country. It was also a year of division in God's church. Let's make sure that we are promoting peace and unity in God's church. And part of that peace and unity comes from showing the proper respect. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, read verses 1 through 3. You know, God's called people from different backgrounds, from different abilities, but he's building a church for his plan and his purpose. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, I'll read this through the New Living Translation. It says, Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and with one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking others are better than yourselves. Now, Paul's telling us not to be striving with one another due to selfishness or thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. Don't be motivated by pride. Have a respect for others and esteem others better than yourselves. It's not thinking that we're the worst sinners, but it's also not thinking that they're the worst sinners either. It's having balance. It's having a realistic understanding that we need God's help. We need God's grace, his love, just as much as everyone else God has called. You know, not looking to find fault in others, but understanding that others will have faults as well. You know, throughout the Old Testament, we see that God worked through one nation and one people, with one culture, with one ethnic group. But in the New Testament, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church was founded and became multi-ethnic, multicultural, and united by God's Holy Spirit. We turn to Galatians chapter 3. We'll read verses 26 through 28. Paul's writing about faith. He's writing about the law, Abraham's seed, and God's promises. In verse 26 of Galatians 3, it tells us this. It says, "For you are all the sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you are baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You know, they said early Christians had to learn that. But brethren, we should all understand that at this time. You know, God has called and will continue to call those to his church from various countries, from various nationalities, from various cultural backgrounds, and from all races. We know that. We know that God created all mankind. And we know that God wants all of them to be a part of his family when they repent, when they are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we honor and we respect all those that God has called, all that he's called to be a part of his church. There's another area that we need to show respect for, and that is those in the world. We need to show those in the world respect. That's sometimes hard for us to do, especially in the times that we're living in. But the Bible tells us to be lights to this world, to be a light of God's truth, to be a light in how we live. Part of being a light is showing respect for those that God has not called at this time. You know, all those who have been created will have an opportunity to understand God's truth. And they can see our light at this time, maybe help them in the future. You know, you turn turn back to Matthew, but I'll read the rest of the story when Jesus Christ was summing up the Ten Commandments two different ways. We talked about earlier about the love for God. And Matthew chapter 5, 43 tells us this. And you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. And we know through going through the Bible study about agape love, that agape love is doing what's best for that person. We don't allow others to hurt us physically or mentally, because we know that's not what's best for them as well. It talks about here that we're not to hate those who spitefully maybe use us or persecute us. You know, I know for all of us, I know for me, it's hard to show love for someone who may not love you, who in fact may hate you, who may spitefully use us. But we are told here that we need to love our enemies. We need to love our enemies. Brethren, we also need to respect those in authority, even when they don't govern the right way, who may be even persecuting the church. We still need to respect them in a right way. You know, we can pray for them. We can pray that God will change their attitude, and that we can also pray that God would deliver us from those who may be persecuting us, who may be our enemy. You know, it seems to me that God allows us to come into those situations so that we can learn, so we can learn from them. As I said earlier, this world today shows a lack of respect for almost everything and everyone. And we need to be careful that we do not become influenced to become the same way. You know, some other areas that we can look at respect for others is with our spouses, for those of us who are married. I'll start with the husbands. If you'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I think I'm a little bit more familiar with the husband aspect of respect, so we'll start there. I'll read this out of the NIV. Because respect in marriage is a big thing. If you want to have a happy marriage, if you want to have a marriage of unity. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us this, out of NIV. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as an heir with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing hinders your prayers. Peter's telling us to give honor and respect to our wives. We know our wives will share in this precious truth as well as we do. They have the same opportunity to be a part of God's family. What's talking about here is that nothing would hinder your prayers. You know, when I worked outside the home, it's always surprised me when I would hear husbands talk about their wives sometimes. They didn't show their wives the proper respect. Sometimes I would begin to think, well, why did you even marry her if you won't show her the respect, if you would talk about her that way behind her back? Brethren, we need to be careful about husbands. We need to be careful about how we respect our wives, how we speak to them, whether they're with us or not with us. You know, I was working on this sermon last night. I wrote in my note about wives. I had I and wives. My wife looked at that and said, do you have more than one wife? I let her do my editing sometimes. It's a good thing. I only have one wife. But sometimes we become familiar with each other. Sometimes we look at each other's shortcomings or faults. But we need to focus on our wives' positive things. We need to focus on why we did get married. We need to make sure that we show respect to our wives, that we have a spirit of peace and of harmony. We want to get together. We want to be together and united, especially with God's Holy Spirit. You turn back to Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 23 and 24. It's an example that we're all familiar with. It's not exactly concerning your wife, but the principle is still very, very true. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." As I said, this verse doesn't exactly talk about a marriage covenant, but it applies. It applies. If we're not respecting our wives as we should, if we're not giving honor to them, if we're fighting with them, we need to make sure that we're reconciled before we come and pray to God. We need to make sure that we are reconciled so that we can have a strong marriage, so we can have a strong relationship. As Peter told us, our wives are joint heirs in the grace of life. What a wonderful truth and promise. Now for the wives. You don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 5:33 tells us, "However, each of you must love your wife as he loves himself. Each wife must respect her husband." That's Ephesians 5:33. And basically the same thing holds true for wives that I just talked about for husbands. Paul tells us that a wife must respect her husband. Much of the problem that comes in marriages today is a lack of respect for one another. It can also happen when a wife does not respect or honor her husband as she should. When it comes to marriage, we need to respect each other. We need to respect each other's value and value each other, each other's opinion. And wives need to respect their husband as their authority. But hopefully husbands show godly love in using that authority. And when we respect each other in our marriages will grow stronger. They'll be more united. And our prayers, as we said earlier, won't be hindered. There's another area going along with family, is that we need to show respect for our children. In Colossians chapter 3:21, if you turn there, he gives us some instruction for the fathers, but it applies to parents as well. Sometimes parents get caught up in the negative, especially fathers can do this as well. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." We need to make sure as fathers that we're not heavy-handed with our children, that we show them respect, that we show them encouragement. And not just encouragement when they do something well, but give them encouragement when they fail. Oftentimes in our lives, when we make mistakes or when we have shortcomings, it's when we grow or have the opportunity to learn from it. It's that way when dealing with our children. Give them respect. Give them the respect that they deserve and help them, encourage them. And so I don't leave anyone out. Children also need to respect their parents. Children need to respect their parents. Moving up to verse 20, staying in Colossians 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing unto the Lord." Some of us maybe didn't have parents that were the best of parents. And those who are children among us may think your parents aren't the best of parents. But the Bible still tells us, the fifth commandment, that we need to honor them. We need to honor our father and mother, that we may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Parents aren't perfect. Children aren't perfect. But we can show respect for one another. We can show respect. As parents get older, we can respect our parents by visiting them, by helping them, by thanking them for all the help they give us. And as I said earlier, maybe our parents don't deserve the respect due to how they raised us or not being there for us. But we still need to respect them. And when we respect them, it will help us. It will help us. You know, being disrespectful is not an attitude that God wants us to have, because it's not helpful for our spiritual well-being. A disrespectful attitude is the same attitude that Satan has. It tears down, it does not build up. You know, we need to respect our elders as well. As we move on from respecting our parents, we need to respect our elders. You know, I saw an excellent example of this. When our oldest son, Kyle, graduated from college, we went to a luncheon that was made from the chancellor. There were just boxed lunches. There were tables set outside his residence on the lawn. You could pick up a boxed lunch, sit down and eat. It was in the shade. And the chancellor himself came out and started talking to people. He was an older gentleman. He approached our table, talked to us, visited for a few minutes, and then moved on. But he also went to another table. That table had Asian students and their parents and their families with them. And when he came to their table, they all rose. They all rose up, and they stood and took their turn in shaking his hand as he introduced himself to them. Brethren, that was showing a proper respect for someone who is in authority, but also proper respect for someone who is their elder. You know, it was part of their culture. And brethren, it should be part of our culture as well. It should be part of our culture as well. Leviticus chapter 19:32 tells us this: "You shall raise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." That's from Leviticus 19, verse 32. You know, as I said, in society today, most do not respect one another. They don't respect themselves. And even for those who are older, there's very little respect shown to them. Brethren, that should not be how we are in our lives. It should not be that way. You know, we need to take the opportunity to show respect, to show honor to those who are elderly, and make sure that we follow what we just read here in Leviticus. You know, today we looked at the topic of respect. We just looked at a few areas that I could think of. Brethren, respect is key in our relationships that we have. They're key. We look first at respect for God and to revere God. We looked at how respecting God is the foundation for understanding His truth for us and His truth for mankind. How we respect God affects our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. We need to make sure that we respect God and honor Him. We also looked at respecting ourselves. Respecting ourselves, because God's created us. God's created us and given us great potential to be a part of His family, and we need to have the proper respect for ourselves. We looked at respecting others. We looked at respecting our spouses, our children, our parents. We looked at respecting those in authority. You know, we live in a world, God hasn't taken us out of this world. We will continue to live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. We're not to be a part of it. Part of that coming out of the world is showing respect for others, the showing respect. Every day we have the opportunity to show respect in how we live. Let's make sure we take advantage of those opportunities. Let's strengthen our relationship with God. Let's strengthen our relationships with our family. Let's make sure we strengthen relationships or show respect in how we live each day of our lives.